Later, Nilofer Taleb explains how Iranian poets were increasingly instrumental in freeing Persian poetry from a state of decline and stagnation. Again, that's Self-Portrait in Bloom with Nilofer Taleb on Tuesday, April 2nd from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Portland State University Lincoln Recital Hall, 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is
Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Shah Breshgold. Her show, Hold On, Let Go, is on now through April 30th at the Golden Gallery at Beaverton Lodge in Beaverton. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Shah.
Thank you, Joseph.
And you are a KBOO alum, as far as I'm concerned.
I am a KBOO alum.
You used to review restaurants.
Yes, I did a show with the infamous Jack Danger in the early 2000s. She had a weekly show, and I, reviewed restaurants.
You have this painting show on. It's called Hold On, Let Go, and it's you're doing acrylic paintings of photos, some of them found photos, some of them your family photos.
Yes.
So just give us a sense of where the idea came from.
Okay. Well, my mother passed away in 2015, and I, when we were cleaning out her apartment and, you know, going through possessions, and I had taken some photo albums from there that were from my childhood, and there weren't a lot of photos from my childhood, but I was very interested in these photos. Just really struck me. They were all black and white and nothing extraordinary about them. They were very ordinary family scenes. And I really loved the idea of in the old analog days that, you know, you didn't have 50 million photos of every minute of your life like we do today. And so you got what you got, you know, your 12 or 24 exposures. And you know, sometimes person was half out of the frame, nobody was smiling, but they were still there in the album. And it was a way of holding on to my mom and looking at those. And then I really wanted to paint them. I don't know exactly what happened, but I started and I haven't really stopped since then.
So you're a professional graphic designer. So
I am.
Fully fluent in all the digital tools.
Yes.
Of making images. You do them all day. Your hands probably have a life of their own of all the shortcuts and things.
Yeah.
So you decided to take analog photos and paint images of them in acrylic on board or on gessoed paper.
Yes.
So I won't ask you why.
Well, I'm an artist. I've been doing art since I was, you know, a child, and went to art school before I became a graphic designer. I mean, I was a cook as a way of supporting myself for 15 years, worked in restaurants and catering companies and all of that, and then didn't want to be a, you know, 50-year-old working in restaurants. So I went back to school, became a designer, and that's been my main way of supporting myself. But I've always done art. I was a member of a collaborative performance group for 9 years called the Girl Artists. We were around in the 80s in Portland, traveled, toured on the West Coast, had a lot of recognition. That was and we were all visual artists, but we did performance and installation.
Oh, what kind of performances?
Well, we did a restaurant called Split Shift Cafe, where we created in a gallery an entire restaurant made out of mostly found materials. And then we did a little performance in that. We did a performance called TV Guidance that was about growing up, being adolescents, and, you know, teenage girls. We did a piece called Shopping in America that was about kind of modern life and shopping and money and jobs and all those kinds of issues. They were always funny and serious and very visual. We were mm-hmm. And then when the group broke up, I started working more on my own again, which I had previously. And the interesting thing is I've used photos as inspiration in my work always, really, since I was in college. And so that's something that it really has been a consistent piece. I've done a lot of collage before these paintings. Even though my degree is in drawing painting, I never really thought of myself as a painter. I did mostly more mixed media things. But once I started this project and these paintings, this body of work, I fell in love with painting because it's just so delicious to, you know, move the paint around on paper or board. And it really took me over, and I've been going pretty strong with it since then.
There's a piece called In the Garden, and it looks like a mom and a daughter. It's a woman and a little girl. There's another girl off to the left, but she's kind of cropped pretty much down the middle, head to toe, so you can't really see much about her. So the mom and the girl seem to be leaning on a pole the girl's holding onto it. She has her arm wrapped around.
Yes.
She's in a blue dress with white polka dots. The mom's in a kind of claret dress. Looks like summer's a lot of green stuff in the background and a dark blue background. Could be sky, could be a building. So whose garden? Any idea?
So this was the backyard of the house I grew up in when I was young, until in Detroit, Michigan, until I was 9 years old. And my parents, particularly my mom, was quite a gardener. She used to say, you know, in later years, because we have a lot of therapists in our family, she would say, and therapy was not a thing, of course, in her generation days, that she would say gardening was her therapy. And so we spent a lot of time there. It produced a lot of food. We hung out there. The fence posts that are in the background are fence posts that my grandfather built. He was a cabinet maker. And they're not still there now when I drove by the house a couple years ago, but when I drove by the house maybe 20 years ago, they were still there. So they had been there for like 40 years. The thing is about these photos, they're childhood photos. They're not necessarily, I'm not just painting like happy family pictures. These were the real thing. I mean, clearly the little girl does not look very happy in this picture. She looks like she might be crying. She's kind of holding on. And I guess I wanted to show that these are the ordinary, very unspectacular but really precious moments of our lives in, you know, to look back on and remembering then. I also, in many of the pieces, I was very taken with the clothes and the big handbags and the color. You know, it is that kind of early 60s, early 60s, some of them into the 70s view. And you know, my mom, as wonderful as person as she was also tired and worked really hard and didn't have a lot of patience, I think.
Was this an event? Like, why was this picture
taken?
No,
I think it was just in the backyard on a maybe it was somebody's birthday or something. When I was at the opening and I did a little talk, and somebody asked about all the paintings being outside, and most of them are. I mean, almost all of them are.
Well, that's where the good light is, right?
That's where the good light is. Nobody, I mean, my dad didn't have a flash on his camera back then, and they weren't, you know, it was a couple of them were vacations, but mostly they were just, you know, either hanging out by a lake or a river or in the backyard.
Two girls is two girls. Look like they're playing in sand.
In sand, right.
And it must be a sand pit rather than the beach.
Well, there was a little lake. It was a little very humble kind of resort that had cabins, and then there was a lake and the beach there. And so it was, yeah, there's like a stone wall that was built around it, I think. And so they're, yeah, playing in the sand.
Do you know who took the picture? Is it you? Are you one of the girls?
I'm one of the girls. I'm the girl on the right. And I imagine my dad, he took a lot of the photos.
So girl on the right is wearing a blue swimsuit with a blue hairband. Girl on the left has a pink and red swimsuit, and she has red hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who she is?
She was a friend that I met there. And I remember her name was Connie, and that's all I remember.
Oh, so like one of those fun holiday friendships.
Exactly. And I was, you know, I'm the youngest of three, and so I spent a lot of time usually playing. My siblings are both older, you know, a bit older than me, so I was very used to just kind of playing by myself because that was how things were. So it was very special to be at a place and have a playmate.
Mm-hmm. Have you tracked it down on Facebook?
I haven't. I don't remember her last name or anything.
Just throw the painting up there and someone will find her in about 10 minutes.
I think
minutes.
She was from Ohio. This was in Canada. But I think for some reason, I think she was from Ohio. So Connie, if you're out there.
Connie.
If that was her name. I mean, I think that was her name.
Life Jackets is a bit more abstract. It's really just a little orange life jacket on a blue background. It could be water, but it's standing up, so it probably isn't. And then a brown, two big brown kind of rectangles with a white divider. What is this semi-abstract or a combination?
Yeah, this was actually one of the first paintings that I did in this series. And I am... mostly I would think of myself as a more abstract artist. And so I had the idea of Life Jacket that it's been a, you know, was seemed to be an important theme that was coming up a lot in the photos and from what I, you know, memories that I have of my childhood. And part of my process with some of the pieces that I've done besides using photographs is I'll do a collage and then do a painting from the collage. And that's been a really great way. It's a great idea generating way to work for me. Cause I start out with the collage with not a lot of preconceived ideas. And, it feels very free and kind of loose, a loose way to get going. And then the paintings, and then I make the paintings from those. And they're, you can tell they're connected, but they look really different too. So there,
you mean you make the collage in paper
in
and
paper,
then paint
yep.
on it?
Cut and paste, you know, analog cut and paste.
Did you paint over the
nope.
paper?
Nope, and then just do a painting
okay.
from the collage. So that's kind of the inspiration for the painting.
So what happened here? Which came first, the background or the life jacket?
I think the background... I'm not, you know, I don't really remember. It was probably actually the life jacket came first because that was a really important image. And so it was, you know, about, I mean, some of the imagery that was going on for me back then, as well as the childhood photos, was I had had breast cancer a few years before. And so I had done some work that had to do with that content, not literally, but as how did I save my, how did my life get saved?
Survivor stuff.
Survivor, definitely, yeah.
So was this a photo of a life jacket that you found in the album?
That was a photo that I just found online and then did a drawing from that.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at it. Because those life jackets, that style, they don't look like that anymore.
Yeah, those big rectangular orange things.
Orange with, ones,
with a hole
right.
For your
yes.
head.
And the funny thing, so my dad fished, and most of our vacations were going out, staying on a lake with, and so he could go fishing. And he would let us, we had to wear our life jackets in the boat to go out in the lake, but once we got out in the middle of the lake, we could take our life jackets off. And my sister and I talk about, how crazy that is, like that. But that was the way things were then.
Well, did you dive in and swim?
I did not. No, I am not a swimmer, which another part of the content of this.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Shar Breschgold. Her show of paintings, Hold On, Let Go, is on now through April 30th. At the Golden Gallery at Beaverton Lodge. So Beaverton Lodge is a retirement home.
It is.
And it has a gallery in it, which mm-hmm. is sort of two rooms. One of them was like set up for dinner, so it wasn't strictly an art gallery.
Right. They do that. One of the room that has the big dining table in it is for, I think residents can use it if they want to have like a private family dinner mm-hmm. or meeting or
yeah.
something.
So it's not used. It's, you can safely put your art in there. It's not going to get covered
in
gravy.
Yeah. No, it's they're mostly gallery, and then that one room does get used sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And what's the deal with this art gallery?
Well,
it's a retirement.
It's
home,
a retirement okay? home, so it's a senior citizen place to live, and it's owned by the local artist Laura Ross Paul and her husband Alex Paul, and as well as owning this, they have a quite extensive collection of Northwest artists that is hanging all around throughout the building. And I went there actually with my mom years ago before she moved to Portland, just to look at it as a possible place for her to live. And we were walking around, and I thought, wow, this place has really nice art. I mean, compared to most places
yeah.
like that.
What kind of names?
Lucinda Parker, Mike Brophy. I mean, really a lot of, I just kept seeing like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, as I was walking around. Even if you don't go just to see my show, to go out there and walk around and see this collection is pretty amazing.
Where did Laura Ross Paul show? She was a painter.
She shows at Froelich Gallery, as far as I know, still. Yes, and she's very busy, prolific, gorgeous, big, beautiful paintings, and many of them are hanging mm-hmm. in there too. Yeah.
When I went, you could just kind of wander in, and
you're supposed
really
to sign
anything.
In.
Yeah, I said hello. They didn't seem too
yeah,
bothered.
Yeah, it's very casual. Yeah.
And then you go into these two rooms, mm-hmm. and it's a mix, do you say, found photos and also your family photos?
Yes. Yeah. So I've always liked, I have a collection of photos that I pick up in thrift stores. I always look through to see. And while I don't have particular themes, I generally, the ones that I have a lot that are women, and then I've been looking more for like outdoor water, similar images that are in my family photos. So the one, this painting,
found relative with canoe,
right?
So this is a girl, a woman really, sitting on an upturned green canoe, this kind of hard shell with the curved bow. And in the background, it looks like water and a tree, a sort of a wind-twisted tree, and then buildings as well. So this was found, right?
Yeah, that was one of the photos. And it's just a tiny, it was like, 3 inches by 3 inches
but this
or
is
something.
Relative? So well, somehow connected to you or found stranger?
No, I just found stranger, but I like the idea of, I think of them as found relatives since I'm making a painting of them. I feel like I know who they are and I make up little stories about them and all that as I'm working. And this is one of the later paintings that I did. And I was lucky enough a few months ago to take a monotype class with Bill Park and Nanette Wallace. Monotype is where you create you ink a plate and it's just like a sheet of plexiglass and then wipe away with rags kind of to make the image. So it's a very loose process. It's not, the teachers that I had were incredibly, you know, able to make beautiful prints. But mostly I came up with, nothing very exciting at the beginning because you can't control it a lot, but it was a really loose process and really fun. And Bill Park, who was one of the teachers, said, this is really going to influence your painting. And I have noticed that it has, that it has kind of loosened me up a little bit in the paintings. I've wanted to have backgrounds and, you know, just everything be a little less controlled and outline-y and, you know, so I really like that one.
You put the paint on the plastic and then rub it off with
a rag? Yeah, basically with your finger or you can use tools, but mostly fingers and rags. And then
you run it through a press.
A press? Yep.
So you put paper on it, run it through a
press.
It squishes on, peel it off, and that's the end. It's a one-shot deal.
Yes. And then sometimes people will use probably the people who are monotypers are going to say, what is she talking? Why can't she describe this? It's a new process for me. But so much fun that then you can make another drawing with put more ink on, make another drawing, run it through again. You can do lots of layering. You can draw into it, like some of the prints that I did from that workshop, I kept even though they weren't that great, but I'm thinking, oh, that'll be a great base to do a painting on top of.
But this was ink?
Yes, but it's a water-based ink, which is also, that was very exciting. So it's not like stinky and, you know, doesn't take hours to clean up.
But does it feel like paint?
It's stickier than paint. It's not as fluid. You can make it more fluid, but generally it's more viscous, I would say.
Can you do this in your own studio or do you have to go somewhere?
Well, where they have press, all the gear? I think most people have the best results using a press. So it's either renting a space or taking a class or having your own press, which, you know, I don't. But I also have a friend who's been doing what she calls kitchen sink lithography, and she's doing, you know, just prints with no press and just kind of rubbing them. And it's a really interesting process, and I feel like it has influenced the paintings that I've worked on recently.
So did it make your backgrounds more abstract, or did it make your brush kind of technique, your marks more loose? Or what?
Yes, I think both, yeah. Definitely looser, not as concerned about, getting things exactly right. This is...
So there's one called What's Cooking. It's a guy doing a barbecue. Looks like he's putting raw chicken on next to a bunch of cooked chicken. And he's got his white shirt tucked into his blue shorts. So we know it's an old person. but he's obviously, this was years ago, right?
It was years ago.
So he was tucking probably back in the day.
He was probably in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's tucked.
He is. He's clearly dressed up because he has fancy shoes on.
White shoes.
Yes. And I think it must have been, I'm guessing that it was an event. There was a lot of chicken on there. It was somebody's birthday or maybe like a Memorial Day, 4th of July.
And is this Breschgold country or is this stranger country?
This is Breschgold. That's my dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So both my parents were quite good cooks, and he was a great griller. And I love that it's the old-fashioned barbecue that has, you know, the big kind of almost flat pan that, you know, you put the charcoal in, and then that grill kind of sits on top. And it was, I don't know, you could never get it like perfectly even, you know, it was always kind of tilting one way or the other. And maybe that's how you controlled heat, you know, the temperature. Yes. And so in the backyard again. And I really like that photo because it really looks of the era. And also that, you know, it just is kind of classic of my dad. And that was one that was interesting at the show when I talked to some of the residents who lived there that they really connected with. Like one woman was saying, oh, my dad always grilled. Another one's like, oh, my dad never grilled. We didn't, you know, have that. And mm-hmm. But that was a, you know, something that they really connected with, and I like
so
that.
So the background is sort of siding, kind of like mm-hmm. olive green siding, and then the foreground is grass, something dark green, but it's in stripes, almost like a wooden fence. So what are those stripes? Are they brush strokes?
They're just brush strokes. I mean, I think for me, the background, while the backgrounds are important to me, the backgrounds, they're really more about texture and marks, and not as much about creating something that's like, I mean, that in that you can see that it's the side of a house and there's a window, but I don't care that much about that it looking like exactly like what it is. It's really more about creating an interesting background for the figures.
The one called Orange Pop is two girls or two women. It's hard to tell. Drinking orange pop, sitting on sun lounges. And they've got their 60s kind of kitty cat shades on. And then there's someone in the background with their legs crossed, probably a mom. And then a kind of brown building. So are these the cabins? Is this the resort?
No, this was a motel in Canada again. So that was, I think, just part of the motel doorway back
right.
there. Yeah.
So these are some of these scenes are your family going to Canada for
yes.
a bit of fun
mm-hmm.
in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Detroit.
Right. Right. So that was and we had family in Canada, and so a lot of vacations were there, and it was close. And you could, you know, duty free when you drove across the bridge
oh, yeah?
or went into
what could you get?
Through the tunnel.
200
alcohol and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Of course. Which, yeah, so that was a motivator for the adults. One thing I did want to say just about the show, too, is that while these are my my relatives and a lot of them, my family, what has been so interesting and rewarding for me was that these pieces have really touched audience, that people seem to really, even if they're not my age or, you know, a lot older or a lot younger, that they really connect with this feeling of, you know, just ordinary family memories. And that's, I've been very happy about that to get the feedback that people really do connect. And so I invite people to come and see it and, you know, let me know what you think about from your family to mine.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Shah Breshgold. Her show, Hold On, Let Go, is on now through April 30th. At the Golden Gallery, which is in Beaverton Lodge, a retirement home. And that's at 12900 Southwest 9th in Beaverton. Thanks very much for coming back to KBOO, Shah.
Thank you, Joseph. It was really fun.
And Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Urban League of Portland Career Connections Job Fair on Tuesday, April 2nd at 10 a.m. at the Lloyd Center Mall in Portland. The Urban League of Portland Career Connections Job Fair features government, nonprofit, and private sector employers from around the Pacific Northwest who are looking for employees. Again, that's the Urban League Career Connections Job Fair on Tuesday, April 2nd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Lloyd Center Mall in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall in Portland. The community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion will address the realities of climate breakdown and the expansion of fossil fuels infrastructure. The event will pose questions about oil train traffic along the Columbia River, impacts on First Nations, and more. Again, that's the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart.